Hello and welcome along to this week's Sideline View, which is an exclusively digital format just for 1 week only. Coming up on the show, we'll hear from two of Clare's 2013 All-Ireland winners to reflect on the year that was for the Clare Hurlers after last weekend's loss to Cork in the qualifiers. We'll preview the 2021 Clare Senior and Intermediate Club Football Championships, look ahead to a huge game for the Clare Camogie side, and we'll have our usual Greyhound focus slot with Alan Troy. Joined now by Clare FM analysts Rory Hickey and Joe Garry to look ahead to the opening rounds of the 2021 Clare Senior and Intermediate Football Championships. Two live games on Clare FM this weekend, Clamurrie and Milltown in the Park on Saturday evening, and Lissy Casey versus Aroge on the same venue, 2:45 Sunday, but there's plenty of football outside of that to talk about as well. Let's just run you through the new format that we have for this year's championship. The same in both grades in terms of the setup, but the how you qualify for the quarterfinals, just a little bit different. Three groups in the senior. We have Clamurrie, Abrick and Cratlow, Innisdiamon, Curraghclare and Milltown in group one. Group two, St. Brickens, Listoon, Varna, St. Joseph's, Dura Bearfield, Kilross Shamrocks and Kilmehel. And group three of Lissy Casey, Aroge, Dunbeg and Clondegad. How it's going to work, three teams from group one will emerge to a quarterfinal spot, and the top two in groups two and group three will join them with a playoff between the third place teams in group two and three to make up your final eight, and the relegation series then between the bottom two teams in group one and the bottom team in group two and three. All sounds very complicated, but as we go on, it'll make sense. Joe Garry, I'll start with yourself. Obviously, the big talking point is group one, and I suppose it shows the importance of the seeding, doesn't it, that we saw Milltown didn't make the last four in 2020. Now they end up in pot one alongside last year's two finalists. I suppose for a neutral anyway, it couldn't have worked out better.
No, certainly, you know, there is a taste of the group of death to it. But that said, the teams that fancy their chances of getting to the quarterfinal of the championship, it doesn't unduly bother them because there's three teams coming out of the group. And that's a big plus to our group to know that there's three teams automatically coming out with a fourth involved in the playoff. So, you know, in many respects, you know, it's on an equivalence basis across the it's only the bottom team that will be excluded.
And I suppose, Rory, the move was made, I know we've the extra team this year because there was no relegation last year, but that move to drop it to the 12 teams to make it that bit more cutthroat. I mean, we're probably seeing the benefit as such of that now, aren't we? I mean, all those groups so competitive.
Yeah, well, it is. We looked at so many games that were so one-sided and things were decided to cut it down to 12, and every team would be competitive there. I have the groups up here on my left-hand side stuck on the wall since the draw was made, and I'm looking down through them, and all those teams, maybe barred the team that came up there, St. Joseph's, Dura Bearfield and stuff, you know, they'd be looking maybe to consolidate their place in senior football this year. But the rest of the teams will be well competitive, and I'm really, really, Derek, looking forward to getting to some games and getting watching some quality football.
Yeah, that's a big bonus, isn't it, Joe? We've heard during the week for the Cusick Park games anyway that there'll be 500 supporters. It's been clarified that it is 500 spectators, the teams, officials, media, all that not included. I suppose they were part of the numbers last year, but that's going to add to a great atmosphere as well, because people, whatever about the county stuff, but we know how tribal club GA is.
Exactly, and you know, you've had great weather there the last while. Everyone wants to see the football action. The county team are gone since the last weekend in June, so you know, I know we've had the minors tonight as well, which is obviously a huge game, but everyone want to get out and support their own lads, because as you say, that's what the whole GA is based about. It's tribal, it's family, and particularly when you have neighbours, children meeting, it always adds a bit of spice to that's happening all over the shop this weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk about it game by game. Obviously, Clamurrie Milltown probably the standout in that it's a repeat of that 2019 final. But you touched on St. Joseph's Dura Bearfield there, Rory. I mean, they're opening up against St. Brickens, and then you have Kilrush and Kilmehel, who will all be looking at that potential of you know, getting that's perhaps Brickens maybe the favourites in that group given last year's form, but you know, very much a case of that second spot open for grabs.
Yeah, that second group is really wide open. Very impressed with St. Joseph's Dura Bearfield. They were able to whip things around that intermediate final last year and come out and play a great second half. They'll be guys to be reckoned with. And St. Brickens, I said watch out for those guys last year. They got as far as the semi-final. The word back that way is that Donny, while he's bringing the tourists back and forth to the islands, he's had the lads swimming alongside him, kind of like fungi style for the bit of training, you know. So they'll be well up for it, and they're well able to play football as well. And they've had that experience, and they went so far last year that they'll be tipping around. If they come out of that group, they'll be tipping around come the closing stages again this year, yeah.
And Joe, that Kilrush-Kilmehel game that's on in Curraghclare Saturday evening at 5 o'clock, that could be a massive six-pointer, well, as four-pointer, I suppose, as it will be. But, you know, the winner of that game, I suppose, would be thinking that they have, you know, a one leg up anyway.
I think, Derek, that's the most important game this weekend. I think the consequences, you know, in relation to the consequences of it, because Bearfield, for me, Brackens are the standout team in the group. So it's a matter of who will come in second place and third, because third is still in the championship as well. But the fourth place in it that will go into a relegation final or semi-final, whatever it'll be, and the consequences of the defeat for whichever team loses that game tomorrow evening, if there is a loser in the game, are really in a pickle, because to get anything out of the Brickens game, all three teams will consider that a plus. But this is one of your two chances to win games, and that'll be gone. So I think it's the most important game of the weekend. Kilosh are probably carrying a bit better form than Kilmehel into it, but Kilmehel have always managed Kilosh in the recent past. So do not be one bit surprised if this one ends in stalemate. There'll be little or nothing between the sides.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, Aidan Daly's the manager there in Kilrush, Jerry Downs over Kilmehel, and their stalwart Timmy Ryan as a coach as well. So he'd bring a huge aura to that dressing room as well. Just picking up on that point, Rory, if we look at Group 3, maybe a similar comment can be applied to what is the final game of the weekend at 5:15 on Sunday in the park, Dunbeg versus Clondegad. They're in that Group 3 with Lissy Casey and Derogue, whom, you know, many people will tip probably to come out. But, you know, again, as Joe mentioned, points here will be so valuable, won't they?
Oh, they will, yeah. And they're four fine footballing sides in that group. That's a tough, tough group. But as you said, two to come out in the third place. So looking at Clondegad, they'll have had Gary all year now, you know. He'll have been training away with him, Gary Brennan. He'd be a massive asset. He's not just arriving now a week or two before championship. So, and Flann Enright is there now. I think he's in his second or third year. So they've gone so far, Clondegad, and you expect a little bit more out of them every year. And thus far, they've kind of failed to provide that, but maybe this year. And Dunbeg, I know the Mark Rafferty there, his club St. Joe's Stuart Bearford, he's gone back to Dunbeg now, and he'll put a bit of steel into those players back there. Not that they didn't have it already, but a bit of guile. I know he's from the north of Ireland. I meet him there in jobs around the town, and we'd be discussing football all the time. And he'll bring an added incentive and maybe a different style to the way Dunbeg have been playing up to now. So intriguing ties there. My own club, Heroge, Lizzie Casey, really looking forward to that. Heroge, what would you call them? The young pretenders, or maybe the young pretenders of this championship. They've gone so far, and you'd expect a lot more out of them. I hope to God this year they can go a little bit further than they've been before, you know. They've kind of failed to provide the heights that we think that they can, you know, and maybe this year they click. It's all about clicking on the day, you know.
Yeah, big game against Lissy Casey, who were unlucky to lose that semi-final last year to Clamory by a point in what was probably one of the most dramatic finishes that we've seen. Just picking up, Joe, on the two teams there in Group 3, Dunbeg and Clondegad, I suppose that Gary Brennan factor is massive for them. But also, we hear Shane Brennan is back among the ranks as well, if they can start to get a tune out of Podge McMahon. And then you look at Dunbeg, I mean, obviously David Tovery is going to be the standout guy there, but you have to imagine the loss of Sean Conway to that shoulder injury earlier in the year. Like, that's a massive blow to them, because he was a guy that was really starting to stand up for him.
Yes, sadly, Dunbeg, like a lot of teams back this way, Derek, are looking over their shoulders at relegation, and, you know, with commanding their senior status, I'd put, you know, more than Dunbeg into that bracket back here, because I think if you were to offer many of the clubs a 1 point win now in a relegation final, a lot of them would take it, because unfortunately the powerhouse that was Clare football back here in West Clare has been diluted greatly. And Dunbeg are badly caught. The Conways are out. I think Ian O'Mahony is out. Eamonn Killeen is out. And they would have had a tight panel anyway. So when those players are taken out of it, it just means their options will be quite limited. Now, Dunbeg will do as Dunbeg always have done. They'll put their best foot forward and they will go gung-ho from the first minute to the last in terms of championship. But I think right now, Dunbeg will be aiming to get a win, get themselves away from fourth place. And if they can do that, anything after that is a bonus. Clondegad, on the other hand, have been slipping down the pecking order, I think, gradually. They were in a county final a couple of years ago. But now, as you say, as Rory has said there, Gary Brennan is back in harness for the full year. Gary has had his injury difficulties, though, and he can't be expected to carry the team all the time, every year. So I think Clondegad will do okay in the group. But watch out for that derby, that parish derby. It's one thing being the best team in Clare striving for it, but you first of all have to become the best team in your own parish. So Lissy Casey and Clondegad will have spiced it when they do meet. I think Lissy Casey are the standout team in the group. For me, I expect them to top it. Aroge, we know what they're capable of. Probably the strongest panel of players in the county. But for some reason or other, once they move out of the confines of Cusick Park, they're not as comfortable. and they don't seem to deliver the same type of performance. So maybe Nissi Casey or Rogan kind of get, I would think, will take the top three spots unless Dunbeg can throw a spanner in the works.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that Joe raises there of the venues, I suppose, Rory. That can be often, we've seen it like with Aero going back to Milltown, beaten by Dunbeg in extra time a couple of years ago, and then last year losing out to Kilmurry back in Coir Chlár. So that probably does play a factor. Just to pick up though on something that your club, Rory, are going to have to contend with. Clondegad are going to have to contend with it. I suppose Lissy Casey, maybe Kilmurry, certainly Cratlow. We're talking about this dual issue. Like, we know it's back-to-back, 2 weekends now of football, 2 weekends of hurling, and then you go week on week again after that. It's a very, very tough schedule, and we're already hearing so many stories of these soft tissue injuries. Colin Collins during the week, he reckons that the team that can keep their players on the field will go furthest in this championship. Might sound simple, but it's going to be some challenge to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, he makes a lot of sense, Colm. And I was actually watching my kids playing yesterday evening over, and I was speaking to the Aero senior hurling manager, who was an integral part of this conversation about the dual player, Matty Shannon. And we were chatting away, and he's just hoping that the guys that play hurling come through this weekend and make it on to next weekend. Now, so much talk over the years was Cratlow and the situation in Cratlow. Virtually the same team, but Aerog are appearing now with so many guys that can play football and hurling at the highest level. It's becoming a huge factor. And would you call them the stalwarts in the club? You hear whispers around the place saying, we can't do this. It's so hard to get the same guys playing both codes. But look, we are where we are. And as Colm Collins has said so many times over the years, you are where you are. And if you can keep guys on the field, as he says, keep them injury free, as Joe said, we've a very, very talented group of players. It's just getting them to click on the day.
Just on that dual point, I remember being up in Corrifin one evening talking to the renowned Joe Cahill, great GM, and obviously we were having that dual debate. And I remember he said to me, do you realise, he said, when Michael Cusick set up the GA, he set it up for both codes. So, I mean, there was no backward step being taken there in terms of dropping one
Joe's
for the
great,
other.
Joe's a great man with history.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's been around long enough to know it all. To the other Joe, though, like, it's okay looking at the Aerogues and the Cratlows who are maybe within the one club trying to manage it, but you look at your own Coir Chlár. You've had it down the years, the likes of Thomas Downs with Aerogue, Pierce Lillis with Ballyade, Damon Burke as well, like Kilmurry Brickin have it with Aidan McCarthy, Milltown have it with Conor Cleary and a few others. Like, when it's only the one or two, is it a bit more difficult to manage them than if it's a whole club ethos thing?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I fully understand where some clubs are coming from, the difficulties that arise. But, I mean, you only have to look at Cratlow and what the job Cratlow have done. Now, they're a very talented bunch of players, but there was never any issue. And I think other clubs are beginning to see that, you know, that it has to be worked together in tandem, because it's not something that's going to go away. And, you know, I think Rory has alluded to St. Joseph's Stuart of Barefield as well. I think things are beginning to stabilise as well there, because you always got the impression from St. Joseph's Stuart of Barefield, rightly or wrongly, that things weren't always swimmingly smooth in there, you know, between the hurling and the football side of things. But bit by bit, I think lads are beginning to realise we work together, it's very possible. And, you know, in a club like ours where we have a couple of players, but often the difficulty is that when you've only one or two isolated players, if they're not going to the same club, you know, it can be difficult for argument's sake if one is playing with, you know, Kilmaley or whatever, and they're on Saturday and Ballyare playing on a Sunday, then the whole weekend you can't expect to get your squad together. But look, it's part and parcel of it. I would just love to see lads playing hurling and football. If not playing football, it's great to see them playing hurling, but ideally you'd like to see them playing both and doing their best for everyone. It can be done. Cratlow have proven it can be done. I will fully concede they had a very talented group of players run, but they're doing it each and every year and are always seem to be top into the championship. And it's very easy to say they would have won one or the other if they didn't have the dual issue, but that's harum scarum talk because you can't prove it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get just an
aside there, Derek, and maybe probably a question for Joe. We're speaking about all the clubs that are in the championship, but no amalgamation this year. No amalgamation of Luke Pitt or whatever. You're disappointed, Joe, not to be a Bonnish Door in this year's championship?
No, my Bonnish Door's days are thankfully over. But in terms of the West Clare amalgamation, West Clare Gales, we'll call West Clare Males, I suppose, it would be this way to put it. They have, you know, they took a decision earlier because it would be so confined. But it's something clubs have to look at, Rory. It's, you know, back here, back West, clubs are struggling big time. And, you know, to get maybe 12 or 14 lads training for a senior team is a big achievement. And it's something I think clubs have to look at. The younger lads nowadays are all playing their football. Most of them are playing amalgamated football up along. So there's nothing in it. I do know when I went back there to the amalgamation a couple of years ago, we had only five sessions. I think we had 30 players at every one of them. And, you know, the lads want to do it. They know it can be done. It's a matter of understanding you have to play two games in a weekend. There's no other way around. I don't think anyone will come up with a solution where you'll be playing every weekend because of the nature of Clare being a dual county. It has to be acceptable. And I think in time to come, it'll prove to be so.
Yeah, that's a bigger structure debate that we're going to have, I'd imagine, down the line. Time is against us. Let's just get into the, I suppose we'll call them the feature games or commentary games this weekend. Kilmurry, Brechin and St. Joseph's Milltown, Rory, kick things off in the park, 7 o'clock. Aidan Maloney making the point during the year or during the week that these two teams kind of kept away from each other for 30 years. And over the last four, they've been joined at the hip. He said last year's first round, obviously that 2019 final. And I think there was a Cusick Cup final thrown in there as well. So plenty of recent history. On form though, Milltown coming in as Cusick Cup champions and the Bricks down a few.
Down a good few, yeah. I seen both teams actually in Eorog, maybe I think yourself was there both evenings. So I've seen Milltown, I've seen Kilmurry, and they're down a few, yeah. And if I was not being critical, but if I was from the outside looking in, I'd nearly say morale is a little bit low there, you know. Talking to a couple of fellas, the young fellas have come in, the impression is that they haven't fulfilled the lads that have left, you know, they haven't fulfilled the places, but championship is championship, Derek, and Kilmurry have never, ever stood down from Milltown Melba. It's one I'm really looking forward to, and they'll put their best foot forward, as Joe spoke about doing big, they'll do the very, very same. But I have seen Milltown Melba look very fit. Wow, very, very fit. Unbelievably fit. From all the teams I've seen in Cusa Cup games across the road in Cammermore, or if I've been with Eorog to see a game, they look really fit. They've changed around things a little bit. Brian Curtin seems to stay in the forward line a little bit more rather than the sweeper role and running up and down the field. Maybe that was something they tried the evening I was watching, but they look seriously fit, and you'd have to put them in as favourites for that feature game on Saturday evening.
And managerially, Joe, as well, changes of plenty. The two most recent championship winning managers with the club are now logging heads together in Mikey Neal and David O'Brien. No more than Gary Brennan being with Clondegad. They now have Gordon Kelly all year as well. Darren McDonough is back. Shawnee Malone is flying it. Kieran Malone has been outstanding so far this year. Like, it's looking on a very upward trajectory for them.
Most definitely. I think you're in a reverse case scenario than from last year. I thought Kilmurry came in with a bit of bounce and something to prove last time round. And turned over Milltown in that opening game, whereas all things were not right in the Milltown. This time round, I think it's reverse. I do think Kilmurry will. I wouldn't question their morale going into it. I think they'll be well up. If they're not up for Milltown game, they won't be up for anything. So I think they'll be well up for that. But the Kilmurry have lost Shane Hickey's absence is going to be cruelly felt. Dermot Coughlin's a huge loss to their squad as well. And Milltown, on the other hand, as you said, I know Micheál Malone is back with him, Darren McDonough is back, Kieran Malone is back, Gerard Curtin is back. They're getting, it's all plus points from them. So right now, I would not only put Milltown favourites for that one, I would put them favourites for the championship. I think they're the team to stop.
Yeah, that form is certainly unquestionable, no doubt about that. Let's go to Lissy Casey or Oak, John on this one, as you mentioned, probably the two favourites to top group three. Maybe this game could very well decide who'll actually top it, I suppose, as much as anything else. You know, as we mentioned, an Eorog team looking to fulfil that undoubted potential, all those county stars, and a Lissy Casey team with the Gary Cup in the bag this year.
That's right.
Have, yeah, and...
Sorry, go ahead,
Joe, sorry. Go ahead, work away.
You're the townie, we'll have to let you speak about the Eorog boys.
Yeah, from what I've seen, training has been going well. Shawnee Buckley, if you remember Shawnee Buckley playing for Limerick in the late 90s, early 2000s, he's the coach, he's coming out for Limerick there out to see Eorog. He seems to be very calm at the sideline, and there's a little bit more purpose. Maybe some of the criticism Eorog picked up last year was their forward play when they got as far as that 45, good defenders and all that. There seemed to be no structure. So that's picked up a little bit. That's a plus for Eorog, and he's a plus on the sideline. He's helping out Paul Madden. Peter Cosgrove, a stalwart of Eorog, has come back into the fold there now, and he's a calming influence on matters. So hopefully they can go that one bit further, but Lizzie Casey seemed to have been an Achilles heel for Eorog over the years, and they'll be well up for it at the weekend, and it's one I'm really looking forward to Sunday afternoon. Sorry for interrupting you, Joe.
Joe, pace, I suppose, is a word that we're going to use quite a bit, I'd imagine, during this commentary on Sunday.
Without question, you're dealing with two of the faster teams in terms of speed. You know, there's speed everywhere on both sides, and Conlon Hennepin's influence could be crucial if Conlon has shaken off that injury. His influence could be crucial in the game. no team provides as many players to the county setup as Airoag do. That's going to stand to them in a big way. I think Lisi Casey have been motoring nicely, but the fact is they're still playing in Division 2. Now, I know they won the Garry Cup. It's obviously a cup near and dear to me, but they do carry good form coming into it. Airoag won't be unduly bothered about that. I think if Airoag are to make a mark in the championship, they have to take down Lisi Casey. So there's a bit more pressure on the Airoag boys. Lisi Casey will feel they can build on, you know, there's going to be a couple of big games in this. Every one of these games will be tight. And more often than not, Derek, in the opening round of group championships, there's a draw somewhere along the line, you know, which means the scoring difference will come into play at some point. It could very well come into play in this group. But for me, I just have a sneaky suspicion Airoag are going into this firmly focused. If they are to make a say in anything to do with Jack Daly, they have to do so on Sunday.
Yeah, that game, as you said, live at 2:45 here on Clare FM on Sunday. I'm conscious, Rory, we haven't really touched on Innis Simon and Cora Clare yet in any great detail. Innis Simon, of course, have the bye round. They play Kilmurry Brickin in 10 days' time or thereabouts in what will be their opening round, maybe 8 or 9 days. But I mean, Cora Clare, we're hearing, and I don't know if our Cora Clare correspondent there can confirm this, but we got the flights back into Shannon Airport. We're told aboard one of them was a certain Sean Yanko Donoghue. He's listed on their championship squad. We understand he's going to see action against Cracklow on Sunday at 12 noon. That could be a big bonus for them, but I suppose injuries to the likes of Jack Morrissey and Sean Brown, I think, out with broken legs. So from a Cora Clare perspective, looking to get off to a good start, but I mean, doing it against last year's beaten finalists.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one for him. I think the Yank did the quarantine in Joe's house. Joe was feeding him up there for the few weeks when he came back, but Noel Crowe has taken over and Innis Simon. He's been a selector there for a long time. And I know Noel personally, he's an astute guy and he sees serious potential there in Innis Simon. And they'll be looking to get things right. They're, what you call them, the pretenders of this championship. They feel up there. They can go one step further and maybe this is the time to stamp things down. And no more than Airoag, they'll be looking to get off to win a start right at the start,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, that Cora Clare Cracklow game, that's at 12 o'clock, and then Dunbeg Clondegad across at Lensburg. Time is very tight. I only have a minute or two, but just to touch on the Intermediate Championship, that gets underway this weekend as well. I suppose, Joe, are we looking at the usual contenders here, the likes of the Shannon Gales, Kildicer, Cora Finn? Is that triumvirate probably looking among the top three?
I would think so. I'd probably even put Kildicer and Cora Finn a little bit ahead of the Gales, even in the pecking order. But the beauty of the Intermediate Championship in Clare is that it's hugely contested. And you often get a lot of derbies, a lot of West Clare games as well. And all those means that there will be little or nothing in the games throughout the championship. I think Kildicer, Cora Finn, I think it's hard to look beyond the two of those for an eventual winner. But invariably in the Intermediate Championship, as I say, you'll have draws, you'll have 1 point wins, things like that. So it should be a keenly contested championship. And I think the one knock-on effect of moving that motion a number of years back, to dropping the teams to 16 to 12, is that we have a very meaningful Intermediate Championship. So you don't become the Intermediate Champions to Clare without proving it, without earning it and proving it. And I think there'll be some cracking games of football throughout the Intermediate Championship this weekend.
There certainly will. And of course, among those will be the newly crowned Junior A champions, the Banner. They're in Group 3 with Shannon Gales, O'Corries, and Airoag's second team. Group 2 is Cora Finn, Navan, Coolmeen, and Wolf Tones. And then you've Group 1, Kildicer, Michael Cusick, Sliscannor, and Kilfenora. So we'll keep you posted.
And isn't it great, Derek, to see the Banner coming up? I know it's hard to belly, but they'll be the first to concede. The Banner have worked so hard. I know in the school there in Skulltree 3, they've had good association with the school over the years. And I think it's mighty to see them coming up. And no better game to focus the minds now than a clash with the big brother there in Airoag this weekend.
Absolutely, loads to look forward to. We'll keep you posted of all of it here in Clare FM. As you mentioned, Milltown, Kilmurry and Lisi Casey, Airoag are two live games. We'll keep you updated from all the rest of them. Joe and Rory will be on duty for us as well across the weekend. Lads, thanks for that and we look forward to it.
Turning now to hurling, where two of Clare's 2013 All-Ireland winners join me to look back on the 2021 season and assess where the Banner stand heading into the next couple of years. First up, here is Clonlara's Dara Conan.
It was an interesting year. Started in a bad way with a loss to Antrim, but I suppose they improved on every game that they played, and there was definitely an upward trajectory there in the team's performance. The development. So, in that sense, it was positive. But obviously, the loss the weekend was a crushing blow.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was, many people have said that Cork were slightly the better team. Maybe it's hard to argue with it when the result is just 2 points, but I suppose there will be a number of regrets from a Clare perspective.
Yeah, well, Brian Cole says that the best team wins every day. So I think Cork probably just edged that they got the goals at crucial times. At the same time, and it was an excellent game. For a finish, didn't have enough. Despite a fairly strong form from Tony in particular.
In an overall, I mean, the one stat that stands out is probably that wide count, is it? I mean, how much did shot selection or maybe decision making play a part in that defeat?
Yeah, well, I think we looked a lot more laboured in our build up play, particularly in the first half, where Cork seemed to be able to deliver really good ball into their forwards and get scores easier, whereas we were reduced to take the pot shots from out the field at times, and that's never a good approach for us. And we've lost, I suppose, more games than we should have down through the last few, maybe 5 or 6 years, just from poor shot selection and shooting from out the field, where we could have been, I suppose, delivering better ball into our forwards, and that would have been a better approach. But that'll be something that they'll have to work on.
And I guess, I mean, you've played with all the guys that are missing, I suppose, in many respects, the likes of the Shane O'Donnells, Peter Duggan, Pat O'Connor. I mean, these guys, in a relatively small enough pocket of a hurling pick that we have, like, to make the progress Clare made without these guys in halter probably says a lot about the work that Brian has done to build up the depth in the squad.
Yeah, and I think you've also had the addition of the likes of Ryan Taylor coming in and becoming a real mainstay in the team, Cathal Malone doing the same. Aidan McCarthy having a fantastic season, so the addition of those players has somewhat made up for the loss of others. And you know, if you could get the likes of Shane back, that would be a huge addition as well. But Brian has done a good job of introducing those few new players to the team and making sure that they progress as well.
From a continuity perspective, is it a case of hoping that Brian will stay on in that job?
I think so, yeah. I mean, 2 years in the job, particularly with COVID and the seasons that we've had, isn't long enough for him to fully put his stamp on it. So I think, you know, it's a no-brainer that he should be back in for another few years again. And hopefully this time around the county board will do it in such a way that they'll give him their full support going forward.
I suppose it's vital as well that a decision is made on this quickly, because in 2 weeks' time we're going to be talking about a lead into the club championship, and you know, you want your management there to be looking for the new players to bring in next year.
Yeah, I mean, Brian initially was appointed probably under somewhat controversial circumstances where they let it drag on for a long time and it wasn't done right. So, I mean, they have an opportunity now this time around to put it right and to give him that full lead in to be the official manager for the full club championship, so he can go to the games and watch and see who's showing well for next year's panel.
The thoughts there of Dara Conan. Time now to hear from Newmarket's Colin Ryan.
It's kind of weird doing a step further last year, and you'd kind of say, what year am I more impressed with? I think I'm more impressed this year. I think the team was playing better. I think Lohan has players stepping up, you know, lads that, you know, maybe hadn't stepped up in previous years. The likes of Ryan Taylor has improved. I thought Paul Flanagan was rejuvenated this year. Dermot Ryan has improved. Mark Rogers, Aidan McCarthy, like obviously sitting John in at centre-back, you know, has played its part. Tony's still playing well. Colm Malone is still playing well. I think the team is playing better than it was last year, and that's a funny kind of a statement like to make after losing the game. And I've never seen a Clare team as united, or supporters as united in loss. You know, it's kind of a funny year. I suppose COVID has kind of fast-tracked everything, and everything is coming on so quickly. But I'd have to think that, you know, all going to plan, looking into next year, that they're in a far better position than what they were at the end of last year.
And just touching on that point of the supporters, it was interesting to see them all coming down to the little barrier around the Gaelic grounds to clap the team off in defeat. Like, there seems to be a real, like, all you can ask from a team going out is to leave everything on the field. And not saying that other teams didn't do that in previous years, but this seems to be a clear support that is very appreciative of what this team is putting into it.
Yeah, they're working very hard, and I think every supporter and the management and all that really appreciate that, and I think that's probably the least you'd expect out of any team, but that doesn't always happen, you know, whereas this team are really emptying themselves, you know, they're doing the real, real hard work, and you know what, like, they could have given up with after the third goal went in, but they just don't, you know, under Lohan, they just don't give up, and you know, right to the very last ball, they were in with a chance of snatching it at the very end. Like, so you can only be happy with that as a supporter, that they're dying with their boots on, you know, and that they're really having a go at games. And I think that's been the case right throughout the year, even the Tip game, when obviously Tip went through the purple patch after the sin binny, they could have given up and they didn't. You know, so I think supporters appreciate that and really get behind the team, I think, when they put in that effort.
I suppose just on the maybe look to improve box, is it just a clear team that needs to maybe sharpen up and be a little bit more clinical? I mean, we saw 17 or 18 wides at the weekend. We saw a couple of goal chances going astray. Like, if they click, well, then you're talking about next level stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think there was our biggest, probably two biggest flaws this year have possibly been, you know, and Aaron will be the first one to say it, probably Aaron's finishing, you know, is a bit inconsistent, I think, for that role he's playing inside. You know, if you were to get 2 or 3 points or a goal a game out of Aaron inside there for the ball he's getting in, we'd be a very different team, because, you know, teams would be worried about what he's getting on inside there and stuff like that. And like, that will come with age too. You know, I think people forget that Aaron is quite young still. And, like, it took John, you know, a good while to fulfill his potential in that role at full forward, you know, and then it became unplayable for a couple of years. But I think Aaron will need to work on that in the off season, I think, for Clare to improve. Also, I think the defence has improved this year. I think definitely, you know, Rory Hayes has concreted his position at cornerback. You know, John has gone in at centre back, and I thought he steadied the ship this year. Dermot Ryan has been next level, I think, all year. You know, he's really been an unsung hero. But also, the last thing is really, when they go through patches of hitting a few wides, there was a couple of chances just after half time. I think Mark Rogers had a hand pass to Aaron Shanahan that just didn't go to hand. There was 2 wides. We kind of seemed to hit wides together, which kind of demoralises the team a small bit. But they're small things, and they're things that can be improved on, and they're nothing, you know, extraordinary. But physically and athletically, it's the fittest Clare team I've seen in a long time, and they're really putting in the graft and working really hard for one another, and they're really united, and that can only be a good thing going forward.
I suppose, just to finish up on that point then, from a continuity perspective, you know, Brian Lohan 2 years down, we know there's a third year there that's under review if he wants it, but probably very important now to get all that finalised as quickly as possible to plan for 22.
Oh, for sure. Listen, like, Brian has been unfortunate. He's been hit with 2 COVID championships, you know, and hopefully, you know, all going to plan, next year will be a bit more regularity in it, like, you know, and he can have a right cut at it. I think if Brian wants it, it should be a case of, you know, sign on the dotted line, off you go, because even speaking to the players this week, I think they could have nothing, you know, but good things to say about how the management has reacted and how they've got them kind of united and playing together and stuff like that. And once the players are happy, you know, supporters will be happy, because you want everybody singing off the same hymn sheet. And they have improved year on year. And I can only see that going further if, you know, for instance, somebody like a Peter Duggan came back, or you got Shane O'Donnell back fit, or Mark Rogers gets another year under his belt. You know, like, they'll all be additions to the team. So, like, if the other players react now to this, and listen, Tony's going to be hopefully in his prime for another 5 or 6 years, you know, so we can really, I suppose, look forward maybe to Clare having a right crack at championship for the next couple of years if we can keep that continuity.
That's Colin Ryan there, reflecting on Clare's 2021 hurling season. Apt as well to mention, of course, that the news broke this morning of Davy Fitzgerald's departure from the Wexford senior hurling setup after 5 years down on Slaney's side, in which he led them to promotion in the league and the 2019 Leinster hurling title as well. So well done to Davy for what he has achieved down there in the southeast. Be interesting to see where the road takes him next. And a little bit closer to home then as well, Brian Lohan's future as Clare hurling manager, still undecided at the moment. We expect expect in the next couple of weeks there might be movement on that, but as of yet, no indication one way or the other from the four-time All-Star. Turning now to Camogie, where Saturday afternoon we'll see Clare take on Westmeath in their final game of the Ireland Championship. A win for Ger O'Connell's side will see them retain their senior status for 2022, but a relegation battle awaits if the result does not go their way. There were positives to take from the last two performances, albeit in defeat for Clare, with the most recent coming last Saturday afternoon when a late rally was not enough to reel in Galway. After that game, Clare captain Claire Herr spoke to Clare FM's Ben Sweeney.
Got off to a strong enough start. We were very happy with our performance in the first half, and during half time we kind of tried to, the only focus on was keeping that performance up, but fortunately, I suppose in the first 10 minutes of the second half we kind of fell asleep there for about 10 minutes, and against teams like Galway you can't really do that. So it's kind of disappointing enough because we finished strong then, and to only have 14 players on the pitch for the majority of the last quarter due to a player going off with injury, it was kind of testimony to the players and the strength we have in the team to get a strong enough finish with to come back from the first 10 minutes in the second half.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, people watching at home would have seen that maybe the gap you pulled back in extra time with those two goals. You know, you really did, as they say, die with your boots on.
Yeah, look, and that's all you can ask from anyone, you know. Mistakes happen on the field, to really never give up, that's all you can ever ask from a team.
Now, you're facing Westmeath next weekend. I suppose, looking into that, it's all at stake. How would you be feeling in advance of that?
It's a massive game for us now because the losers could face into relegation. So it's turned out to be nearly one of the most important games now. And we've never played Westmeath before, so you know we're not going to take anything for granted. And we'll be back knuckling down this week now, getting ready for another important game.
And maybe in terms of lessons you might have learned or things you could take away from the game against Galway, the fact that you were able to come back against Galway towards the end there must be giving you some sort of positivity. So in terms of going into Westmeath, have you anything you could take from last weekend or this weekend?
Definitely, yeah. We've learned a lot from our two games. You know, we've seen what does work for us and what doesn't. So definitely focusing on our game plan now for the next week, and it could be, I suppose we'll be sticking to, you know, kind of what we know. There'll be nothing changed, no drastic changes. Like just because Westmeath are kind of a new side up the senior, it doesn't mean that you're going to take anything for granted, and it could be the same preparation as it was for Kilkenny and Galway.
And finally, you know, anyone who's either played GAA or has watched it, you know, would understand that it's very easy once you fall behind to just park the bus and say, right, okay, we're out of it. But the spirit shown by Clare yesterday was just superb in coming back and saying, right, I know the odds are against us, but we're going to give it our all here. And I suppose the side need credit for that comeback.
Definitely, yeah. We knew Galway were going to come at us very strong in the second half. So we were kind of prepared for that, I suppose, in a sense. But I suppose it was just too much of a margin to come back in the end. But definitely, yeah, very proud of all the girls and the comeback in the second half.
That's Clare captain Claire Herr there. I also spoke with 2013 All-Star Chloe Morey to see where the squad stand heading into this weekend's game.
We're incredibly disappointed to kind of be knocked out of the championship after the two games. Look, people might have said we got a tough draw and stuff. We didn't really look at it like that. I think we were wanting to go all the way. We were going to have to beat those teams anyway. To be honest with you, like, we kept pretty much, I mean, the first game we kept Kilkenny scoreless from a goal in terms of goals, and then against Galway, like, we were toe-to-toe with them and they just got a poxy goal, and I suppose it kind of knocked the wind out of our sails. I think, though, we've probably been a bit more consistent in the performances, like, if that even makes sense. I think that's why we're probably so disappointed and frustrated with ourselves, and we were literally in it even in extra time. We'd score two goals. Like, we scored those two goals in, what, about 2 or 3 minutes. So, I mean, we could have done that if we had kind of been a little bit more aggressive or with up front. It could have worked out that way. And I think that was the same thing against Kilkenny.
Does that kind of leave a small bit of frustration?
Yeah, like, I mean, what we've been training, you've been doing lockdown workouts and all this, and even the fiasco with the club girls and their training. Like, the only positive is that hopefully all the, like, actually, sorry, we don't even know what's going to happen this Saturday in terms of Westmead and stuff, but we'll be back to clubs, so, you know, sooner, I suppose. That's the only positive to look at us. But I were incredibly frustrated. I think I was very frustrated as well. I think we put in an awful lot of effort, and you could sense that on Saturday. And not that that wasn't there before, maybe in previous years, but I just think this year we really gave it, like, everybody gave every last drop, especially on Saturday. We played with 14 players for the last quarter of it. Like, I think people died with their boots on. You know, people were saying that about the Clare hurlers, but had they gone, unfortunately, with the timings of the match. But if people had seen, I suppose, the way we tried to finish the match, knowing that we were in that Clare jersey, I think they hopefully would have been proud of us as well. But look, we're incredibly, incredibly frustrated and probably angry at the way it's worked out.
Is that then leading to a mental challenge as much as anything else to now turn around and be ready for that Westmeath game?
Do you know what? And this might sound very, very weird or very funny, but like, I got a sense after the match, and I don't know if I've ever felt it, obviously whatever happens in previous years, but there was just such an anger in so much as that. I think people are already like, we have to beat Westmeath on Saturday just for ourselves more than anything else. There's girls there who came off. I think that they were probably cross with themselves, that they'd want to prove a point. I think there's the girls there who haven't got their chance yet and who are going to be buzzing come Wednesday now and wanting to prove a point to our management. So I actually think, I'm already looking forward to, I just want to go out and play Camogie, and nearly, I want to win, and I'm really competitive. So I'm actually really already buzzing for the match on Saturday. I know people are kind of duping it as it's a relegation kind of playoff, but it's not yet. Like, I mean, if we lose, then we're in relegation. So I wouldn't be calling it that yet at all. I think, yes, it's a very important match and we know that, but I think it's more of an important match for ourselves more than anything. We actually just want to do ourselves justice, I think. And I actually just felt such a sense of that on Saturday, really. So I wouldn't say it's hard at all, actually, because I'm only looking to go out and play a game of good Camogie and rattle the net awfully a few times or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, the fact that it's Westmeath and it's a shot in the dark and all that, but just going on what you said there, I get the sense that it doesn't really matter, any of that.
No, like, listen, if we were playing, I don't know, if we were playing Cork, I'd be the same attitude. We're not, I wouldn't be remiss if we were playing at all. Like, I don't know if people would be like that at all. I don't know how you could be. Westmeath did incredibly well against Kilkenny. They actually were leading for most of the match. So, if it was Cork, Galway, Kilkenny, Westmeath, Offaly we were playing, it wouldn't really matter. I think it's literally, doesn't matter who we're playing. It's actually more about ourselves this Saturday more than anything I've ever felt now playing a Camogie match. I'm actually just more, and as a team, I think we're like, we have to do ourselves justice on Saturday. So, no, there'd be no problem getting up for a jog because I think people are already up for it and it's only Monday, so.
Yeah, and just finally, does that mindset almost come from the mature place, perhaps, that this squad are in now?
I think so. I only found out there, you wouldn't think about much, but like, we have 11 of our starting players under 22, and then you have the golden oldies, I suppose, as well, but we've girls like, I mean, our captain Claire Harris, she's been in Munster finals, Ashburn finals, the same with all the UL girls. We have girls who've gotten with their clubs as well to Munster and All-Irelands and stuff. So I think, do you know what, they're actually an incredibly competitive bunch, and it's even like in small things in training, it's even hanging around as friends after. We're always very competitive, and I think we do love Camogie, and we love playing for Clare and stuff, and there's a real bond between this group. And I think we're just really disappointed that we didn't kind of finish out the games against Kilkenny and Galway. And I think just with the last year and two, even with COVID and stuff, I actually just think there's just a frustration, or there's just a ball of energy that we're just like, we just have to go out and produce something on Saturday for ourselves, no matter whoever we're playing.
That is Chloe Morey there, looking ahead to Saturday's clash with Westmeath, which you can hear live here on Clare FM. That game underway at 2 o'clock in Cusack Park. Finally, for this week's edition of Sideline View, it's time to round up the Greyhound action on Clare FM's Greyhound Focus with Alan Troy.
Clare FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
A very good evening to everyone, and welcome to this week's Greyhound Focus. We kick off with last weekend's racing from Galway Greyhound Stadium. Friday night in race one, Brickhill DC got the Clare contingent off to a great start by landing the spoils in 29.50. This was a fourth career success for this daughter of Droopy Sidney and Rat Meaton May, who is owned by Kilmehel native John Collins and former Ballyea resident Albert Long. The Clarecastle Magpie duo of Michael Corrie and Michael Daly were to the fore again with their Lily's Joy in an A4 contest. This daughter of Ballymacvic and Brookville Dash crossed the line in pole position in 29.42 and is handled by renowned trainer Stephen Murray from Kilmurry near 6 Mile Bridge. On Saturday, we had four Clare winners. Getting the banner roar going was Seeker's Magic, owned by young Killian Brown from the Tulla Road Innes. This daughter of Kinloch Bray and Seeker's Magic recorded her first career success in 1958 in an S9 contest. In the following race, another S9, Martin Griffin from Caharay took the honours with Charmed in 1974. This was a second career success for this daughter of Lockhill Blake and Nebraska Scott. In the opening heat of the Greyhounds Make Great Pets A3 sweepstake, Aina native Niall Arthur, who now resides in Carrickmacross, County Monaghan, was delighted when his wishful bin romped home in an impressive 29.10. This son of Ballymacvic and Wishful Flyer is under the dutiful care of his father, Jerry. John Collins's Brickhill prefix is ever present to the winner's enclosure at Galway recently, and Brickhill Polio recorded a fourth career success in 1923 in an S6 contest. This son of Lockhill Blake and Ratmeehan Holly is jointly owned by John with John Brown from Ratmeehan Ballyea. Last Saturday night in Limerick Greyhound Stadium, Joe Keane from Carrigaholt made it two wins in a row with Banshee Moon. This strapping son of Droopy Sydney and Blastoff Fizz finished strongly to win an S5 contest in 1933. There was further success for the parish of Carrigaholt on Saturday night at the Kingdom Greyhound Stadium when Joe and his daughter Jane Maloney made the journey across the ferry worthwhile when Bella MacDave broke smartly to win in 29.30. This was a second career success for this son of Ballymacvic and Bella MacTrina. The prestigious Bar 1 Irish Sprint Cup is in full flight at Dundalk Greyhound Stadium, and Butsy's Bingle followed up his Round 1 success with an eye-catching performance on Saturday night to the delight of Shannon Min, David Ryan, Owen Collins and Ryan Hodge. This son of Pinpipe Maxie and Kilikal Tammy announced himself as a major player for outright honours with an impeccable 21.02 run. Last night at Limerick Greyhound Stadium, the Port Ryan Kennels near Cratlow were successful with Port Ryan Carl. Liam Carl has enjoyed plenty of success throughout the years with his Port Ryan prefix, and this daughter of Droopy's Kane and Port Ryan Queen recorded her third career success in 29.50. Popular Curra Clare owner Tommy Gallagher was to the fore again with his great servant Joe B. Slick. This son of Tullamore Act and Ballyket Lady recorded a 14 career success in 28.99. And Breda Casey from Newmarket and Fergus was successful with Snuggy Bonnie, another great campaigner who made it a 15 career success in 29.36. A member of a very good litter that have accumulated 48 wins, Bonnie is a daughter of Sir Paddy and Snuggy Whisper. The significant contribution made by the greyhound racing industry to the Irish Exchequer and rural employment was highlighted in a new report published at Shelburne Park during the week by Greyhound Racing Ireland. The report compiled by renowned consultant economist Jim Power showed that greyhound racing made a net contribution to the Irish economy of £132.3 million in 2019 and supported 4,150 full-time and part-time jobs. An additional 6,211 active greyhound owners derived economic benefit from the industry in 2019, the last full year of activity before the pandemic. An investment of a further £117.8 million was made by greyhound owners and trainers in 2019 in preparing and racing greyhounds. The report also contains details of the care and welfare initiatives progressed by Greyhound Racing Ireland during the past 2 years, including the provision of care and foster care centres, the introduction of an expanded inspection programme for greyhound establishments, and the operation of a greyhound injury support scheme, and the commissioning of the Rossiert Con Éireann traceability system. It also highlighted that 3,995 greyhounds have also been rehomed with the support of Greyhound Racing Ireland and the Irish Retired Greyhound Trust. Further information on this report can be viewed on www.gri.ie. And we conclude on a sad note this week after the recent passing of Michael Adan from Gower Haas, and the Glen Kilrush, who with his lovely wife Mary were great patrons of Limerick Greyhound Stadium and derived great fun and made many great friends from their passion for all things greyhound related. I would like to take this opportunity to offer my sincere sympathies to Mary and all the extended family. Arreshte, Gorev Anam.
And thanks for that. That's it for this week's Sideline View. Don't forget we're back on air as normal next week, but do stay tuned across the weekend for a whole host of live games here on Clare FM. I'll talk to you soon.